The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hi, this is Jim.
And this is Max.
Check out our podcast, The Step Over, Liberty Ballers Podcast Network, for all of your Sixers needs.
Player analysis, game breakdowns, who would look coolest in a headband, and more.
Subscribe to Liberty Ballers podcast feed on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and check out The Step Over, a podcast about Sixers basketball.
Mostly.
Welcome into At the Podium, episode 15.5, brought to you by the fine folks at SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I am your host, Michael Kist. Follow me on Twitter at Michael Kist NFL. That's K-I-S-T. Two press conferences on tap for today, as usual. First up is defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz, who has got to be feeling pretty doggone good about himself after formulating a great plan that held the Rams to their second lowest total point output of the year in the Eagles' 30-23 win on Sunday night. But instead of starting with his plan, he started the first 3.5 minutes praising fourth round rookie Avonte Maddox, who played an incredible game. I gave him the game ball for his performance in the recap show, wrote about it for BGN, but yeah, credit for Schwartz too. He had Sean McVay's number and it showed. Up next, the second press conference is offensive coordinator Mike Groh, who talked about what was done differently with Nick Foles starting at quarterback as opposed to Carson Wentz, among other topics. Lots of good info in these, and we'll be back soon with the Kist and Solak show, all 22 film review of the Rams-Eagles game. That'll be the next show dropping. But for now, let's lead off the show with Jimbo.
Okay.
Jim, what did you like most about the way you guys played Sunday night?
Getting the win.
Stood out specifically, the way they tackled, the way they covered, pressure.
I like your first thought there, probably the best. I think we tackled a little bit better. But I think that, like I've said a lot of times, I think that had to do more with the team defense than it did actual tackling. We missed some tackles in that game, but other guys covered up those misses, and you didn't notice those as much. We were able to get off the field on some of those third downs. I thought that, all those things sort of married together. And, you know, just like some of the games this year where we didn't make the play when the game was on the line, this game we did. You know, and that's really been the difference for us this year, whether we've won or lost a game. They're all coming down close, and it's, coming up and making that play when it counts. And I thought we did a good job with that.
Avonte Maddox, well, it's probably the same thing, but the decision to play Avonte on the outside, what led to that? Did that have anything to do with the way Craven was playing in the nickel?
He's multi-dimensional player. He started for us at safety. He started for us at nickel, and now he started for us at corner. And he has that flexibility to be able to do that. I think probably a little bit more. You know, Cray is still fairly new to the team, and he's had to been pressed into duty outside. Awesome. But it wasn't ideal. You know, I mean, just like, you know, I think it was Giants. You know, all of a sudden, you know, he had to go out there and play. He doesn't get very many practice reps. A little bit easier if you've been through camp with us and stuff like Avonte. So we just thought that was probably the best combination We have a little bit more experience at safety right now than we have at corner. And, you know, I don't know if we win that game without Avante, though. You know, not just making the interception, but played really good in the pass game. That tackle he made in the two-minute drive at the end, that's as big-time play. I mean, you know, the plays that you'll see from him, you know, if you're watching highlights of the game or the last play of the game and his interception. But that tackle had every bit as much to do with us winning that game. And it's really encouraging to see. We've talked a lot about Avante, but he played a major part in getting that win.
What do you think is Avante's best position right now?
All linebacker. Probably can rush pretty good. He's short. He might be able to duck under some guys. I mean, we'll use him where we need him. Every week's been different. I mean, I have no idea how many different secondary lineups we've used. It hasn't been – I mean, I'm sure it's been a lot, just where we are. And he's been Johnny on the spot. We missed him when he wasn't in there. He's got great speed, plays with a lot of energy, those kind of things. And as long as he's one of the 11 on the field, we'll find a spot for him somewhere.
Did you watch the tape?
Same stuff we see from him every week. You know, he's a guy, and not only does he play good, he made a play in the screen game that was another big-time play. You know, he's good in the run game, and he affects protection. Even like a couple of the pressures that we got in that game, one, Nigel was completely free to the quarterback. It was all because of Fletch. And, you know, they didn't like the matchup of him one-on-one with a particular offensive lineman. So they were sort of cheating and sliding the protection to him, and it opened up opportunity for guys like, you know, for guys like Nigel and Malcolm to be able to get through. That doesn't get you a sack. That doesn't get you a pressure, but it gets a third down stop. And you know, those are the important things. So, you know, I think a lot of times everybody notices the sacks or the tackles for a loss and things like that. Maybe things that go a little bit under the radar, things like hustling downfield and making a play on a wide receiver screen, or getting the protection turned to you so much that it opens it up for somebody else. Those are the things I notice the most.
Did you learn anything about Avante? You talked about Cravon in that Washington game having to go outside. It's, you know, people have to do it at times, but being forced to play someone outside is different from being there. And obviously at 5'9", there's traits that you need to be outside. But other guys have done it, Brent Grimes, Chris Harris. Did you learn anything about it?
Well, he did it all through training camp. You know what I mean? And he played a lot of preseason ball outside also. So it wasn't his first rodeo when it came to doing that. So even though he wasn't on the practice field very much last year, we didn't have any hesitation of putting him in. It was a little bit more, I thought it was a heavier lift for him way back in the Tennessee game when he moved into the safety position. Even though there's some carryover from your nickel, you're seeing the game completely different. And there was a little bit of on-the-job training there. You know, playing corner, I don't know if that was, it wasn't as much of a concern. He was up for the challenge, and he didn't practice very much. So, you know, hats off to him that way, too.
Was there a year where your team, you know, when you have guys pushing through things like, you know, Fletcher Cox, at one point was kind of carved off, and Michael Bennett, you know, week after week?
Yeah. That's just what time of year it is. These guys all, you know, have a tremendous sense of team, and they all want to be out there, and not all of them can. You know, there's a difference between wanting to and being able to go do your job. And the guys that we've, you know, had out there, you know, they had to go out and do their job. So, you know, that's just what time of year it is. Probably no different for us than a lot of other teams.
DeAndre Hopkins so tough.
I think probably the biggest thing that stands out for me is he's so strong with contested catches. He must have incredibly strong hands, and he just has just a knack for getting the ball. You know, he has some rebounder type skills in him. You know, Charles Barkley would lead the NBA in rebounds when he's 6'3". You know, those guys that just have a knack for high point and knack for knowing where to, he's no taller than 6'3". You put whatever you want on him. He's, but I think that sort of stands out the most. I mean, that play he made to win the game, or to give them the lead, not to win the game, but to give them the lead. I mean, you can't cover a guy much better than that. And not only does he high point the ball and he's strong enough to squeeze it, he's also strong enough to come down with that ball in his hand. He's a threat to run after the catch. He's one of the best receivers in the NFL.
What's the teaching point when you have a guy who's that strong on
the ball? Yeah. Be strong on defense. I mean, there's really no – I mean, like, you know, I mean, it's like when I used to have Calvin Johnson. I mean, what do you tell a guy? Get taller. You know, hey, jump higher. You know, I mean, there's just – there's. I mean, it's, sometimes, you know, you got to work scheme to try to take the quarterback off his looks, but – you know, Watson knows who his playmakers are, and, you know, they've had some injuries at the wide receiver position also, and they're going to work hard to get him the ball. We're going to have to work hard to keep him from going there, and when they do go to him, sometimes you're going to have to make a tackle. Sometimes you might be able to break it up. You know, you have to sort of pick and choose your spots a little bit.
Run defense around.
I don't know that we really did, to tell you the truth. We gave up some gaps. We gave up some gaps inside. We made a few opportunistic tackles for loss. I think that had a lot to do. You get a tackle for loss on the first down, like the first play of the game or the first play of the second half. It's a great recipe for three and out, put the offense behind the sticks. We were a little bit loose in some of our middle fits early in that game. Having a lead will help your run game. I think that did also. I don't know how much Gurley's injury had anything to do. He was still playing on third down. They were still trying to get in the ball in a lot of ways. Our run defense is always a work in progress, and it goes hand in hand with a lot of other things. It's going to be important this week. You know, that's one of the things that Houston does the best is run the ball.
From a scout team perspective, how do you simulate Watson's ability on the ground?
Yeah, we've done it with a lot of different ways when we've played mobile quarterbacks. You have to work scramble drills. Sometimes you use different skill players in there. You know, no offense to Sudsy and those guys, but, you know, it doesn't really look the same with them. You know, but then there's other things that you just sort of play. He's really good at extending plays. It puts a little bit more pressure on your coverage. Your coverage's got to cover a little bit longer. And your pass rush, you know, a lot of times if, you know, it's about three and a half seconds, if you're not there, the ball's usually gone with guys like Watson. There's a great chance that, you know, he's going to come back to you. You're going to have to keep on rushing. So it just changes your clock a little bit. You know, a lot of different ways we work that on the practice field.
In the secondary, those guys are having fun with their ski mask. What stands out about the personalities and kind of the cohesiveness of that group?
Well, I mean, other than offensive line, I think that unspoken communication, knowing what the guy next to you is doing, means more in the secondary than it means anywhere else. I mean, offensive line, it's really important because you have, I mean, we have a whole Webster's dictionary full of calls and terms and everything else that you use on the practice field. But when it's, you know, 70,000 people in the stands and everybody's going crazy and they're running jet motion one way and shifting another, you know, half the time those calls never even come out. You just need to know how the guys around you are playing. So anything that you can do to build some camaraderie and things like that, that means a lot. I think also, you know, other than Avante, we have been able to get those guys on the practice field a little bit more recently. You know, Cray has sort of solidified that nickel spot for us. Russell's solidified an outside spot for us. Get a little bit more of a role for Trey Sullivan. Malcolm's doing his thing. So it's just a matter of those guys being on the practice field and sort of having a good feel for each other. Anything that you can do sort of helps that.
How do you guys carry over this momentum from the Rams game, and what are you keying in on when it comes to the Texans?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you can't count on carrying momentum over anywhere. I mean, every game's new. I think you can get burned two ways with that. One, you can think it's carrying over and you know, and not be up to the challenge. We'll be at home. Stakes are high. That'll be plenty for us.
How rare is Rasul's tackling ability for a young quarterback?
Well, he's really picked it up. Early in the year, he was struggling tackling. And, you know, he's made not just some good tackles. He's made some big hits. And, you know, like I said, there were a couple plays in that game. He came up and made a tackle on our sideline once. Avante came up and made tackle to keep Gurley in bounds, keep that clock going. You know, everybody pays attention to a corner's cover ability, but their ability to tackle is important. We've seen what happens when we don't tackle well at the corner position. You know, there's a lot of guys look bad when you don't.
You blitzed a little bit more Sunday, Jim, than you had been. How much of that is because of the comfort level you're starting to get with those corners as far as leaving them in one-on-one situations when you send somebody extra in?
Yeah, you know, we blitz more than a couple of those games where we blitz zero or one. Yeah, I don't think seven really makes the you know, the radar as far as like blitzing a lot. Like, you know, it's a little bit more. Some of those weren't. I mean, if you really, truth be told, they're really not technically blitzes. They're just sort of exchange rushes and things like that. You know, whether you blitz or play man, I mean, or rush four, the whole key is getting pressure on the quarterback. And I think the thing that was key in this game wasn't the blitzes that we called. The thing that was key was our ability to create pressure with our four-man pass rush allowed us to be able to blitz sort of on our terms. And like I went back and they were trying to do some stuff to double Fletch and to take care of him, and it opened up some opportunity. So they both sort of worked hand in hand.
Jim, Fletch played like 80 snaps a week ago in Dallas, and then even after he got carted off and came back, he still played like 75% of snaps, I think like 60 total yesterday, or 2 days ago, rather. What does that say about his conditioning, especially this late in the season?
Yeah, I mean, it's what we need him to do. Again, it's not ideal, mainly just because of where we've been the whole season, you know, with different injuries and things like that. He sort of did the same thing at the end of the year last year, you know, into the playoffs and those kind of things. So he's ready for it. Getting him back, when he went down in that game, getting him back, at first we thought we were just going to be using him on third downs. And we tried to spot him a little bit here and there and put some other guys out there for the first couple plays and sort of hold him in the reserve. But really, he really didn't need that. And Michael Bennett played a lot of snaps also. Again, you know, sort of situation we're in with our defensive ends. We lost Derek early in the year, lost Josh. You know, it's a little bit more on their plate. Those guys are up for that and they're ready for the challenge. And we're going to need them over the next couple of weeks. You know, we've had some games in the past we didn't play a lot of snaps. Last 2 weeks we've played a lot of snaps. But, you know, that's sort of where all that off-season work and everything starts to pay off for you. Okay. Thanks, guys.
I'm a fan.
Welcome to Share It.
Now I got my column. Mike, can you explain to those of us who aren't in the room when you guys are putting a game plan together or calling a game, what is different about what you guys do over the course of the game when Nick is the quarterback versus Carson?
Well, in terms of putting the plan together, you know, we had a little bit of a philosophy before we even knew anything about, you know, Carson's injury or who was going to be playing in the game. So we tried to put the best plan together that we thought would be effective against the Rams. And then every quarterback's a little bit different. So, you know, some guys gravitate towards certain plays. So we try to put certain plays that, you know, one guy may have a certain comfort level that another guy may not. So there's some of that tweaking that's involved, but you know, you may like the color blue and somebody else may like the color green. And so it's just kind of one of those things, personal preference and some of those concepts. So we try to maybe add or subtract where we think that's important.
I'm sure you heard Doug gave the anecdote about the conversation you had with you Monday about going back to some of the basic stuff from training camp. What made you guys get away from that in that period of time?
Well, I don't I think when you say that's a blanket statement, so you feel like, well, they're not doing the stuff that they normally do. And I don't think that's the case. Maybe emphasizing a few more concepts, but it's not like we got way off track. I don't think that that's what Coach meant by that. But it was just really kind of a re-emphasis and, hey, let's get back to maybe some core things and, you know, hopefully jumpstart things a little bit.
You mentioned pre-snap motions. And last year, you guys did something similar before Nick, when Nick was playing, about kind of cutting down on this a little bit. Now, Doug said this was made before you even knew who the quarterback was. But what was it about the pre-snap motions? You felt like, okay, maybe we should cut back on them a little bit.
I just think, you know, maybe from a play call standpoint and just a tempo, just to try to get up and get lined up and eliminate some of those things where maybe it wasn't altogether necessary and just line up and play. So, like you said, we had, you know, already had that conversation before we even knew who was going to be playing in the game. Or that Carson wasn't going to be playing in the game.
Yeah. Seems like the O-line has put together a pretty good stretch these last few weeks. Is that just guys getting healthier, or what do you see? What do you see from those guys?
Well, I mean, the offensive line played really well the other night and gave Nick time. We know the kind of pass rush and guys that they have up front out there in Los Angeles and what they're able to do. So you got to give those guys a lot of credit up front. You know, all of them across the board. Did a heck of a job in protecting the quarterback and then creating some running lanes. We were able to be effective with the run game. And then our running backs, really by committee, whether it's Sproles or Wendell or Josh, they all were effective running the football. So, you know, we got a complete game out of the O-line, which we need that kind of effort again this week because, you know, we know Houston's got an excellent defensive front.
Dallas played like 60% of the snaps in each of the last two games. Is that matchup based, or has he shown the staff enough where you feel like he has to be on the field that much?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, he certainly has done an excellent job all season long, made tremendous progress, I think, week in and week out. And then, you know, from a game plan standpoint, we felt like there were some things we could take advantage of being in our 12 personnel group. So that's contributed to it a little bit as well.
It seems like that
nickel, like 100% of the game, I think, even though you guys played 12, about 60%. How much did that influence your commitment to the run?
We were committed to the run, but I would say that we were a little surprised to see them just stay in nickel completely the entire game. But we were committed to run the football going out there.
Zach and Dallas both blocked pretty well, especially in the run game. How big of an advantage is that when you have guys who are doing what they were able to do?
Yeah, well, I think I mentioned this last week when somebody asked about Dallas, and that's one of the areas that he's shown tremendous amount of improvement in. I mean, he was not asked to do a ton of that in college. So to really be doing it for the first time in the NFL is something that usually takes tight ends, you know, a year or two. And, you know, he's really developed. Justin Peele's done a great job and getting him coached up. And Dallas is a tough guy, and he's got a lot of strength there at the point of attack. And I think, you know, Zach takes a lot of pride in being a complete player, not just a pass-catching tight end. And he's done a really good job, too.
He also mentioned that he wanted to pass us out quicker, and he dialed up some more quick releases and things. Is that something that you find that helped?
I didn't hear the very beginning of that.
Doug also mentioned that he wanted the quicker passes. Is that something that really helped in this? Is that something you think you'll continue when Carson comes back?
Absolutely. I mean, we you know, we don't want to sit back there and hold the ball. So, you know, getting the ball out, that's good for everything. We get the ball in play. We get in our playmakers' hands. I get a chance to break some tackles out there in the open field and you know, not asking the offensive line to protect as long.
It looks like just from the eye test that Nick was taking a lot more shots downfield than Carson has been, especially to Alshon. What was your impression of that?
I don't think we took any more than normal. We connected on obviously a few of those plays to Alshon down the field, which made a big difference in the game. So we always try to be aggressive and push the ball down the field and you know, we were able to connect the other night, which was really helpful. We didn't have to drive, you know, 12 plays to score. We were able to shorten the drives.
Nelson played nearly all the snaps, but was only targeted twice. What does he do so well away from the ball that helps you guys be successful?
Well, Nelson's kind of an unsung hero, you know, in the offense right now. And, like we talk about, sometimes the ball finds you, sometimes it doesn't. Depends on coverage, progression, protection, you know, all those kinds of things. He had a big game a few weeks ago against Washington. Could have been, you know, really even bigger. But he's unselfish. He plays with a tremendous amount of toughness. He understands everything and what everybody else in the offense is supposed to be doing. So from that standpoint, he's comforting to guys out there and getting guys lined up, or he's assignment sound, and he's certainly willing to block. So he does a lot of things without the ball that might go unnoticed, but not by people in this building. We got a lot of respect for Nelson.
How has he developed as a blocker over the last few years?
I mean, I just think there's a tremendous amount of willingness and toughness to his game. So he's unselfish that way. He knows that that's important to what we want to get done and get accomplished as a team, and he's willing to do it.
Yeah. Now that you know that Carson has the fracture in his back, did you feel like it was affecting his performance?
You'd have to ask Carson that.
Going back to the basics, when Doug said some of the limiting of the pre-snap motion, how much does playing on the road emphasize that? Do you have even though it wasn't the toughest environment, a lot of Eagles fans, how much does home versus road play into that?
Yeah, how about those Eagles fans? They were out there in full force. You know, that gave the guys a lot of energy too. So I certainly do appreciate all them showing up for the game. But, you know, you mentioned being away and on the road. Those are always factors that you have to take into account. Snap count, motion, and all those things, things that factor into a game plan when you're playing away. And obviously 90,000 fans there, it can be pretty loud there in L.A. And that's something that we always discuss on a Monday or Tuesday.
In Doug's comments to us, he gave you the credit for putting the game plan together. What goes into that process for you? What's Monday and Tuesday like?
Well, that's nice of Coach to say, but this is a collaborative effort. This isn't just Mike doing this. We got a lot of really good coaches on the staff and, press and Brew and Stout and Justin Peel and Deuce and, Carson Walsh and all of us are putting this thing together. So
what's Monday again?
Well, we'd get up there and we start grinding on the tape, and everybody's kind of got their areas that they're focused on. Then we come together and start putting the ideas on paper.
A guy like Wendell, he isn't used much in the last 3 or 4 weeks, and come in Sunday and do what he did.
I think it says a lot about Wendell. Wendell is a true pro, and he is ready when his numbers call, and he's really been that way throughout the entire season. And not only that, just saying, okay, well, he knows what to do. He's been really effective when he's had the opportunity. He's made plays, and he's been a reason why that we've been able to win games. So it's a real credit to him. He did a great job the other night, and obviously getting in the end zone a couple times was huge.
Mike, what about Doug Dickinson to have the players to keep playing for him despite?
Doug just has a really positive outlook. And I think he relates really well to the players. I think they relate well to him. And, his message is on point each and every week. And so I think it's an effective message. He keeps it pretty simple, boils it down for him. And I think I got a lot of respect for him, so they play hard for him.
When he's been positive and you felt like it's the players have kind of responded to that positivity?
Well, just his general energy, really just the way he carries himself up and down the hallway in the locker room. When he speaks to the team, he's not afraid to point out things that he wants to see corrected when they need to be corrected. But the way that he says it, I think, is received very well, and the guys hear the message, and they go about trying to get things fixed or continue to do things the right way. The way when he emphasizes that too.
What kind of stood out about Smallwood? He had a couple of touchdown runs. When you looked at the film, what kind of jumped out at you?
I thought he showed really good vision and patience in the running game. Was able to break some tackles, and so he's got some speed now. He just hasn't gotten all the way out there on the edge to break a long one, but you can see the speed through the hole. He's patient to it, and you can see the burst through the hole. He's running behind his pads and pushing the pile. It was a really good night for him.
You saw good pass last week. You have Clowney and J.J. Watt this week. What
seems like you talk about that every
week. Yeah. So what's unique about these two?
Two of the best edge rushers in the game, but not only that, they're complete players. So you got to account for them all the time and know where they are and have a really good plan in pass protection. Like I know that we will, and I know our guys will be up for the challenge.
Speaking of pass protection,
connection. How good is it having Darren Sproles over a period of weeks, you know, for the first time since you've been the offensive coordinator, you've been able to sort of plan on him being there right. each week?
Well, Sproles, he's made an impact since as soon as he got back. You know, he had a touchdown the first game and then another touchdown the next game. So, you know, he's obviously still a really good player. It's like you said, it's nice to have him back here, whatever this is, 4 or 5 weeks now in a row, where he's starting to really feel like himself and, you know, make some plays. And he on third down, that first third down of the game, he came squirting out of there. That was exciting. He almost broke it. So we're going to continue to integrate him in the offense and utilize him.
What stands out about the way Nick has been behind the scenes? And it's obviously a unique set of circumstances coming off of last year and, you know, having to kind of give up the reins and now take them back.
Nick is just Nick. I mean, you guys know Nick and his personality. He's easygoing. I think he's very relatable. I think the guy's, you know, he's easy to talk to and he's approachable, you know, with the guys. And he's on his stuff. And the relationship in that quarterback room, I think, is excellent in terms of the support that they all give each other. And that's Carson to Nate or Nate and Nick for Carson. Those guys, you know, that room is they do a great job of helping each other, talking through game plans, talking through issues. They're up in their room all the time throughout the course of the week, and then certainly on the sidelines supporting each other and cheering each other on.
Mike, at the beginning, that you know you try to cater an offense at least a little bit to what a quarterback does well. Over whether it was over the end of the regular season last year, the playoffs, or even the beginning of this season. Have you learned anything about Nick that suggests he could do more than what you guys gave him? Or have you got, has he just kind of been doing what you guys want him to do based on what his strengths already were? Or has he shown you something to say, oh, okay, we can also do this with him?
I mean, I think every time he's had the opportunity to play, he's been really effective. And, you know, we always are trying to build on things. So we got a lot of confidence in Nick and what he does well. And, you know, just keep going there. We're focused on the Texans and trying to put another good plan together and play efficient football and have another balanced attack. So, you know, Nick has proven himself over the course of time as an excellent quarterback in this league, and we're lucky to have him.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.